Now, that's Autumn 3, which you know we keep playing here. Antonio Vivaldi, Max Richter, and of course, who's in there in the middle of it? Only Mr. Daniel Hope. He's not in the middle of it, he's at the front of it, Daniel Hope. And with us this morning, Daniel, good morning.
A very good morning to you.
How are you, my friend? Are you well? Are you enjoying Ireland?
I'm so happy to be here, I have to say. I'm just having the time of my life. It's so great to be here.
We have been watching you posting photographs all over the shop. The first thing I have to say, because I presume you're making, is it a TV documentary about your life or about your background? Or what is it that has you on the road at the moment?
Yes, I'm making a film for Arte, the German-French broadcasters, and it's really about my Irish ancestors on my father's side, my Irish roots.
Yeah.
And it's about investigating Irish music, where it comes from, learning about it, meeting people that can teach me about it. So it's a historical and a family journey.
Now, we noticed a photograph this morning of you with Sean Smith from Lunasa. And the fiddle player, and a very fine talent, yes, in this country. And you're holding a violin. Can I ask the question, is that your own violin you're playing?
Yes, it is very much mine.
This is the 1742 violin, is it?
It is correct, 1742, which is a year which is also musically very important as far as Ireland's concerned, because Handel was here launching the Messiah. So I feel doubly special to be right in Dublin right now.
Yeah. However, can I just make the point? I am correct in saying this particular violin was given to you. Is it Giuseppe Gioneri del Jesu? Is that the person responsible for making this violin? Am I correct?
That's absolutely correct. It's been put at my disposal. It hasn't been given to me, unfortunately, but yeah. I'm lucky enough to use it and to play. And when I met Sean yesterday, we did some playing together, and he was teaching me a little bit about how to play the fiddle.
Yes,
and I was, we had an amazing time. I've known him for a while. I've loved and admired Lunasa for many years. I even played once, very briefly, on a show of theirs.
Oh, brilliant!
And I thought, you know, who could be better than Sean to explain to me where Irish fiddle, traditional fiddle, comes from?
That's a great story. The other thing that worried us, however, was the close proximity to the 1742 Giuseppe Garinelli del Jesu violin to a pint of Guinness. struck me as very cavalier, if I may say so.
Well, you know, Sean was showing me in Galway the pub where everything began for him.
Yeah.
And he was playing and he was getting into the memories and you know, we were playing together, and he said, well, what we really need now is to drink some Guinness. So I said, of course. I mean, yeah, we're here. Let's do it. You know, and before I knew it, the photographers were on us.
I saw the violin and went, oh, sweet divine God, there's going to be an accident here. But obviously you're enjoying yourself at the moment, which is wonderful. We play you regularly and often, practically daily. I don't know if you're getting the checks, but we do play you practically daily on radio.
I do appreciate that enormously.
Not at all. But you've had this great wealth of music over the years. I mentioned the reimagining of Vivaldi and that, and the spheres and all the rest of it. But you've had so many albums out, and your relationship with Deutsche Grammophon, of course, is so strong. And now you've got this brand new music out.
That's right. It's this is an album which has just come out. It's called Hope, and it's really a document of lockdown. This entire album was recorded during lockdown under really very challenging and difficult circumstances, not really knowing if we'd ever be able to make this album. And the centerpiece is this absolutely stunning South American mass called the Misa Criolla by Ariel Ramirez, a piece which I'd loved since I was a little kid. And I dreamed about making a version where the violin can somehow join the choir and be part of it. And, you know, sitting in lockdown, having time on your hands, I got thinking, you know, would this maybe be the time to try and do this? And from there, we pieced together an album which was really about just sending out a positive message out there, because I think we've all had enough of bad news.
Yeah. Well, there's some beautiful music on it, and one of them is Sanctus, which we particularly liked here. We give that a spin. I think we should give that a little spin. What do you think? You know, right, Daniel?
With pleasure.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Not at all. Mr. Creole, this is from Hope, and it's called Sanctus.
Thank you.
There it is. I'm chatting with Daniel Hope this morning, who has wisely named his album Hope. Presumably you'll have another one called Daniel coming down the line, will you? That'll be your next.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe.
just trying to help as best I can. Do you know what I love? That lovely photograph of you with Yehudi Menuhin when you were a little small person. I love that story about your mother. I take it, and if it's true, or if you have to make it up, I don't know. Is it true about this story about coming from South Africa, where your folks, where your family come from, and Yehudi Menuhin and all that story about your mother's offer of a job? Is that a true story?
It's a completely true story.
Oh, right. Well, will you share it with the listener then? Because it's great.
Absolutely. Well, we were more or less forced to leave South Africa because my father is a writer and was fiercely anti-apartheid. And we ended up getting out of South Africa, but without our passports. We were basically stateless. And thanks to the Irish, it was my mother who did the research and found out, because of my Irish grandparents, we were able to get an Irish passport. And with that passport, we were able to settle in the UK. So firstly, it's thanks to the Irish that we're talking today.
Yes, yes.
And then it was Yehudi Menuhin. My mother was looking for a job as a secretary in London, and she couldn't really find any work. And by complete chance, she met somebody who had a job agency, and he had very high-powered secretarial jobs. And one was the Archbishop of Canterbury's secretary, and the other one was Yehudi Menuhin. And she, I think lucky for me, she went for the job for Menuhin.
You might have taken to the cloth otherwise.
I may well have done.
Be preaching from a cathedral somewhere handy. It's a wonderful story. I mean, as somebody said, you couldn't make it up. I just saw the story and thought, I have to ask you that one, because I just think it's so funny.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Yeah.
And what are your memories of Yehudi Menuhin? Do you have memories of him?
Yes, I mean, you know, I my earliest musical memories are with him. You know, he said I fell into his lap as a baby of you know, a few weeks old.
Yeah.
And so the first concerts that I ever experienced were with him playing, or with his sister, or with the Zurich Chamber Orchestra, which was the orchestra that was in residence in his festival in Gstaad. And then, you know, I knew him until really his very final concert when I was in my 20s. I mean, there are thousands of memories. We were on tour together. We played over 60 times together. I mean, he was an incredible musician and man, and generous spirit to me, to all our family, to so many people. And he was one of the most original minds I've ever come across. He could, it doesn't matter what you were talking about, whether it was music or politics or art or history or design, he always had a different point of view. And that spontaneity was pure inspiration for everyone around him.
Oh, well, by all accounts, you are both quite blessed to have come across each other the way you did. But he by all accounts, he was an absolutely gorgeous person, apart from anything else. The other thing I want to ask you...
He was also...
Go ahead.
He was so open in terms of other music, and that is something that I'm eternally grateful for. You know, because of his collaborations with people like Ravi Shankar, Stephen Grappelli, it was totally normal for me to hear this kind of music. He was absolutely in love with Irish fiddle music and with that whole traditional idea of the fiddle. And so I got to learn things early on, or experience things rather, that I would not necessarily have got from a classical musician.
Yeah, because he opened your mind to the concept of it, hence Sean Smith.
Indeed.
Indeed. One of the things that I found fascinating about you, and I think it's a very clever idea, I mean, everybody was not everybody, but many people of note were giving concerts from home, and you did the Hope at Home, and obviously reached millions of people and hugely successful. But I love the idea that you then had Hope at Home on tour, which I think is absolutely ingenious to go with that idea. But it was you coming out to people and saying, well, look, here we are, this is what we do, and kind of saying the music is there for everyone to enjoy, and not to be afraid of it, because sometimes, as you know, people are afraid of music that they're not familiar with, and I'm talking about classical music here. And you have very much made a point, haven't you, of getting out there and letting people see that it's not anything to be afraid of. even if you don't know it.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I think everyone deserves the chance to have that experience with classical music that it can really change the way you feel and the way you think. And I've always believed that. And with the Hope at Home and the television and the internet, it gave me the chance to do that globally, which was, of course, you know, was a blessing, but also to be free in terms of the programming style. And, you know, a lot of it depended on who we could get that day and who was, you know, not prohibited because of various regulations. But once the first lockdown finished and places started to open up, I said, come on, guys, let's go. Let's get out of here and see if we can find places that are starting slowly to reopen. And we can show people who are probably still locked down that there is life going on there and that music is our way of communication.
All right, well, absolutely. The other person who I know you've worked with and is somebody we've interviewed a number of times in Milan and here as well is the great Ludovico Einaudi.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he's a great friend, and he's an incredible guy. I mean, just really totally unique in everything that he does. Yeah. And as you know, I mean, if you met him, he's the most humble and charming, laid back gentleman.
He really is, and we often play we play Experience, which is you and he, but Petrichor is the one we love.
Well, you know, he I met him because of the Spheres album that I did, the track of his I Giorni, and I got in touch with him because I wanted to have his approval, and I wanted to, you know, just to kind of get more into his mindset rather than just play the piece.
Yes.
And he said, come on, let's meet. And we happened to be both in Vienna one evening. We met, and he sat under the piano. He brought a stack of music, and he said, let's just play. We didn't say anything. We just played, just the two of us, for a couple of hours.
Gosh.
And it was amazing, because that to meet that way before you even say a word was very, very special. And so then he rang me after that and said, you know, would I come and do the couple of tracks on that other album? And, you know, I was thrilled.
But isn't that the international language that music is?
Of course it is, you know, and... He's stayed completely true to his ideals, and I think you have to respect that. You know, he gets a lot of flack from people, but he is who he is, and he's completely authentic in what he does. And it's interesting that many people who do criticize often say, well, you know, I could do that, that's easy.
Oh.
But actually, it's not, and that's the interesting thing. I do think he's carved out, it's now more than a niche, but he's carved out something for himself, which is totally unique and totally original for him. And, you know, as I say, coming from this also interesting background, you know, his father was the first prime minister of Italy after Mussolini. I mean, you know, he grew up in that amazing household of freedom and the new Italy. And so, you know, he's very, very educated and a learned guy. And in that humble way, there's a lot behind what seems to be, on the outset, just a very simple, basic kind of expression.
He does. He it's as if he plays it down almost.
Yeah.
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 your own background is interesting too, the whole the South African thing and talking about your folks and then also your grandparents and the Nazis in Germany. And so you have all this background going on, swirling around, which makes you, I suspect, somebody who has found it necessary to learn a lot about the past and to learn a lot about the world we inhabit too, I expect.
It has. And, you know, I spent many, many years researching my mum's side, which is the German side. Mm. And less on the Irish side. And that's why I thought now was time. You know, my father still remembers his grandfather who left Ireland at the turn of the century as a very young boy from Waterford and ended up in South Africa. Mm. And he remembers him as a little boy, as this wonderful, jovial figure, but he doesn't know much more than that. And so that was my starting point, to try and come to Ireland and see if there's any sort of memories here. And I was so thrilled and so touched. We got to Waterford and we were received by the mayor of Waterford and by the amazing lady who does all the research for the genealogy and the archives there. And they came up with information. They found the house where my great-grandfather lived. They found records from him at school. They found all sorts of things.
That's amazing.
And suddenly the person takes shape. He becomes something real. And we were also, what was amazing, we were able to there was an old fable in our family, in the great-grandfather's story, is that one day on his way back from school, he saw a man drowning and he jumped into the river and saved the man from drowning. And he got home and he got a hiding from his father because he'd ruined his only suit. And a few days later, or a few weeks later, a medal of bravery arrived from the Royal Humane Society with this beautiful bronze medal and a certificate, and there was a ceremony. Wow. And apparently his father sat there bursting with pride as if he had pulled the man out. And that was the story that we'd always heard about. It was like a legend in our family.
Sure.
And we told this story to the mayor and to his team, and they went and researched, and they actually found that it was a true story, but that it had a twist to it, and it was not a man that he pulled out of the river, but it was one of his school friends. And these boys had gone for a swim, and one of them had gone into trouble and had drowned, and my great-grandfather had done everything he could. He went down the water several times to try and pull him up, and this is all described in this newspaper article from the turn of the century. But it was amazing to know, you know, the essence of the story was true, but of course, like sort of Chinese whispers over the centuries, it had changed and it become something else. But it makes me very proud know that, you know, he did this.
a very fine man, clearly. Musically, a musical background, Irish at all?
A musical in terms of, I think, everyone in this country seems to be musical. He seems to love singing and dancing and being close to melodies. And he did love listening to music. I think he could play a tune, he could hold his own and the piano. But nothing more than that.
Right.
And yet, you know, I do feel walking around Ireland and hearing the music spilling out, even in my head, actually, or as I did yesterday with Sean, or meeting Siobhan Armstrong, who's been amazing telling us about the Irish harp and the origins of that, and listening to the sounds of Irish music. I do feel that it's very much here in the air that we breathe.
Well, the album is a joy, and I'm so thrilled that I'm not surprised that you're being fated so well in Ireland. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest. We're a very hospitable people. And you're one of us anyway, aren't you?
I have to tell you something, actually.
What?
I have to tell you something. This is a true story. We were in Waterford, and we were shooting, and we wanted to get a really beautiful shot of the sunset across the water, and we'd been driving around for a long time, and we couldn't find a place where we could shoot. And suddenly I saw this house with a beautiful garden, which was just the most perfect position, but it was a private house. So I wasn't sure, you know, could we go in, knock on the door, whatever. And so I was literally peering around the corner of the wall when the lady who lives there saw me and she said, can I help you? And I explained, you know, we're there with the German film crew and we're here to make a film. And I said, you know, I know it's a huge imposition, but would it be possible just to film a few minutes here in your garden? She said, absolutely, come on in. She took out chairs and took out, you know, everything for us. She could not have been kinder and more hospitable. The family sat there. I told them the story about my dad, And then when we left, like it was actually about 2 hours we took in the end, we were about to leave and the lady said, just one second, I've got something for you. And she ran in and she brought out a loaf of fresh bread, which she'd baked for my father. And my dad was here and I tell you, he burst into tears.
You're joking me.
I'm absolutely, this is a true story. She said, I thought because of your grandfather, you know, you've got the sights and sounds of Ireland. He'd never been to Waterford before. Right. She said, you might like to have the taste of Ireland. And here's a loaf of bread that I baked for you.
What a wonderful.
It was, we were all just absolutely, I mean, so moved and so touched by it.
And what age is your dad?
77.
He's 76, still a young man.
Yes, and he's been to Ireland, but he's never been to Waterford, and so that for him was really like a journey into his past, and to connect to the grandfather that he knew,
yes,
you know, as a young boy who was so kind, and he corresponds the kindness of his grandfather to the kindness of the Irish, and that's, yeah, I think that was encapsulated in that moment when this lady we'd never met before suddenly kind of almost embraced us with kindness.
That's very true. Well, it's a lovely story. You don't want to give us her name, I presume.
Probably not.
No, I was hoping for some nice home baked bread, really, if I'm perfectly honest with you. She sounds wonderful. Listen, we must finish, but I don't want to finish because I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I really am. I hope you'll get the chance to come in and sit with us one of the days when you're back again. Is there some word that you might be doing something with the Symphony Orchestra? Am I hearing rumours?
Well, I'm actually with them today because we are, for the film, we are going to record a piece by Ina Boyle, who is a composer I've only recently discovered, and I think she's fascinating as, you know, female Irish composer from also the turn of the century, who studied for a time with Vaughan Williams in London. And she wrote this fantasy for violin and orchestra. And the RTE found it and sent it to me. And I thought, this is amazing. So we're going to go and record part of it, at least, for the film.
Lovely. Well, that's perfect. Well, listen, this won't be on the CD, which is called Hope. But I thought we'd finish with Amazing Grace, which is absolutely stunning.
Thank you.
Oh, it's just stunning, and we've covered a lot of ground this morning. But I hope you'll come back and talk to us again, Daniel. And sure, as the fellow said, you're with your own people now, and that's the way we say it here in Ireland.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You take care. Thank you so much for today. Take care.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All
thank
right.
you.
So here is Daniel.
Bye-bye.
Hope, the album. Bye bye. The album is called Hope. It's Daniel Hope, Deutsche Grammophon, and this is Amazing Grace.
Saved us. Marty in the Morning on RTE Lyric FM.